Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, May 17th, 2019. On the phones with Fred in Iowa. So one church.
Well, you said one church. I believe that strongly that I belong to the remnant church. But it is apostatizing from the top down. That's all prophesied. But that doesn't change the word of the Bible one iota. But, you know, you said earlier, I don't know what it is, you get upset. My God, do I ever get upset. I get angered and frustrated and I get depressed. And I go through the gamut of emotions and feelings. And I try to keep them under control. But people are delusional, and there's a reason for that. Christ gives a lot of people up to a reprobate mind. I don't know what verse to go to. It's written.
Romans 1 to me is the quintessential, you know, I don't know. To me, that's one of the best places to go for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not good at memorizing verses, but he gives them up to delusion, and people are so deluded that you can't communicate with them. And then there's another one that I have difficulty with. You know, when the apostles went into Samaria or any city, and Christ said, well, if they don't, and I'm paraphrasing the verse and verses, that if they don't listen to you, leave the city and knock dust off your heels. And then forgiveness, you know, and Christ said, or Peter asked, I think Christ, you know, about forgiveness, and then he said 7 times 7. Well, you can forgive your fellow man, each, you know, man to man, woman to woman, and man to woman, whatever. You can forgive each other's foul things they have done to you, and you should.
Yeah, that's an interesting passage. That's Luke 17, I think, and just for a brief aside, I think it's provocative because, you know, for a variety of reasons. So it's the brother, you know, if your brother offends you seven times, and says, forgive me, forgive him. So first of all, his brother asked for forgiveness. And those who, you know, for those of us who have experienced that, asking forgiveness is more than saying sorry. You can apologize and be disingenuous, but if you say, please forgive me, that is humiliating in a sense. It's very humbling in a way that apologizing is not always. And so that's interesting. And to forgive, you know, the response from the disciples is, Lord, increase our faith. And most preachers that preach what comes next call it a faith passage, but really it's an obedience passage, because Jesus says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would do this. You know, you would do these great things. But, you know, which one of you, having a servant, when he comes in from the field, says, hey, feed yourself? No, you say, hey, take care of what you need to take care of, feed me, and then you can take care of yourself. And so you also ought to have done only, you know, you should say, we've only done that which we ought to have done. Just be obedient, and it will increase your faith, is essentially the admonition. So, anyway.
Bless your heart and your good memory for verses. My God, that helps me out immensely. You know, it also says in there, and I think this is when you're talking brother to brother in a church, I think, that you are to forgive a brother two times, and then after that, well, reject him, or, you know, just don't have anything more to do with him. I've had a little trouble with that, because I know, I mean, even in my own family, I've talked for going on 8 years now to a younger sister that is very helpful to me, but it's taken a long time to get through to her. But before I forget it, you know, a person, and I may have, and it's not because I'm bright, it's not because I'm really a student of the Bible, although I know it comparatively well. And I think I've been given more light than possibly the average Christian. But with that more light, you have more responsibility. You cannot hide in ignorance. Take for an example an atheist that may be living up to 50% of the light that he or she has. And let's say, just for numbers, that I have 70 or 75% of light, of light from the Holy Spirit, and I'm only living up to 60% of it. Who's the more just man? It's the atheist, man or woman, that's living up to all the light that they have.
Yeah.
So that's where the judgment part comes in pretty tough. You know, you don't know who's going to change, who's going to learn. An example of Paul, the Apostle Paul, he killed a lot of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Christians. And when he got literally knocked off his horse, you know, on the road to Damascus. But people talk about the Bible, but you've got to study it, you know, not to read the Bible. You know, anybody that knows how to read can read anything. You can read the Bible. You've got to study the Bible.
Yeah.
And I used to think to begin with, well, you know, that's pretty easy. Well, it ain't. You have to pray to begin with for the Holy Spirit to guide you, and then you have to study it. And then to get into the obedience part of it. And it's written in the Bible, and I can't take you to the verse. If you don't love me, Christ, more than your mother and father, I'm paraphrasing it, you're not worthy of me. And it's difficult. But I hear people go, getting back to apostate Protestantism, so ignorant. And I'll make the statement, I'll die a Protestant. But the teachers, you know, that they have, the pastors, they are ignorant. And if you go into any other church or, say, whatever denomination you follow or believe in, and try to talk to in another church, my golly, boy, you just up against a stone wall, because people want to believe what they want to believe. In other words, they have itching ears, so they choose the pastors and the leaders that will, can't think of the word I want to use, but justify their thinking and their feelings and how they live. So they therefore will follow man, the law of man, and not the law of God. And there can't be any grace if there isn't a law. And you hear people, Christians, say, well, you know, I'm under grace, I'm under grace. Well, if you can't be under grace if there isn't a law. And
which people reminds just me of the Pharisees saying, forgive us for what? You know, what do we need forgiveness for?
Yeah, and anytime anybody thinks that they can, a man, human being, a person, or person, can forgive your sins, we can forgive each other, man to man, woman to woman, or like that. You're delusional. You're saying Jesus Christ is nothing. And the powers that be, and I could really name them and get right down to it, and that just shakes people up. But they're killing Christ. And the same thing that happened to Israel in Christ's time is going to happen to the world, but far more terrible, horrid than what happened in Israel. And you're not saved by a group. You're not saved by a particular church. You're saved individually. Individually. It's no group. I mean, and you can't be saved like as a nation, as the apostate Jews or are saying today. You don't get saved because you're a Jew. That's impossible.
Yeah, but I mean, the one caveat that I would throw in there is Romans 11:25. That's a good reminder. You know, where Paul going especially through Romans 9-11, saying basically to everybody, hey, hold on, yes, you're special, but wait, to different people groups. In Romans 11:25, you know, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, brethren, and for those that don't recall it, I'll just leave it at that, but it's, you know, just one of those amazing mysteries, you know, God continues to bless the way that he does. Anyway.
Well, we will be saved through the Jews, but not political Israel as it is today.
Right. And as far as who's who, I always mention Romans 2 and Romans 9 as the definitive, you know, that's where it is, New Testament.
Yeah, I got to go through that. Well, every time I get off the phone, there's things I wish I'd have said or clarified it, or I didn't know how to come out of it. But that's why I like you talking, you know, when I'm talking. Anyhow, I've taken up a heck of a lot of time. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Love you.
Thank you, Fred. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, as always. Much appreciated. Want to go back to the phones in a second. First, that, you know, what Fred was talking about, among many other things, calls to mind what to me is a humorous sort of story it's humorous for a variety of reasons. It's to me, it's evidence of God's humor. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a parable. After he's done telling the parable, verse 9 says his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And ironically, Jesus' response is, it says, he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." But why? And so it's just interesting. First, you know, obviously they don't clearly understand because they asked, you know, they're asking, begin questioning him as to the meaning of the parable. And then he says, you know, you guys are insiders, so you get the inside scoop. But the, everyone else, you know, they get it in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And that's kind of like, you know, you can imagine. To me, the disciples remind me of Ninja Turtles. Hopefully that's not blasphemous. And what I mean is, you know, they're constantly running around talking about how fantastic they are. Jesus is feeding 5,000 with a basket full of food. Meanwhile, they're standing behind him arguing about which one is the most fantastic among themselves. And so they're asking him about the parable, and he responds the way he does, which sounds kind of cryptic. You know, so it's a mystery wrapped in a riddle, conundrum, enigma, all that kind of stuff. And you can just imagine them sort of nodding at each other. So it's interesting, and that is not where the humor ends. To me, that's kind of humorous. But then he goes on to explain, and he concludes by saying, "So take care how you listen." And this reminds me of what Fred was talking about, accountability, things we've all been given, you know, the talents and the abilities and the gifts and things that we've all been given. Reminds me of that. So Jesus concludes in verse 18 saying, "So take care how you listen." Take care how you listen. For, and this is after they ask, and he doesn't say this up front, which to me is it's a sort of humorous gotcha, in my opinion. He's explaining, and he says, "So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." And there are similar passages, which sounds kind of counterintuitive on the face of it, I think. But, you know, the more you study, you know. And then, of course, you know, the world says, "To whom great chocolate is given," you know, anyway. The biblical passages, "To whom much is given, much will be required." That kind of stuff. Anyway, that Luke 8 has always struck me as sort of humorous. Back to the phones, William in Montana. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
Haven't called in because, you know, living here in Montana, you know what they always say, you got to make hay while the sun shines, and we don't have a very long growing season here, and so I've been busy with various things. But it's interesting, I was just turning in, and there was a gentleman who I believe was from Washington State that was talking about
James.
Mary Hill and the Stonehenge replica.
Mm-hmm.
And
you mentioned that we were talking about that stuff, right?
Yeah. I don't know whether I mentioned that, but I mean, I've been there. And the Columbia Gorge, before I moved to Montana, the Columbia Gorge was like sort of a place of refuge because it's pretty magnificent. It was created by a big lake, you know, in Montana, called Lake Mosula, back during the late Pleistocene, and it was after the glaciers retreated, this huge lake, where there is now the Flathead Lake, but there was another lake called Lake Mosula that was, you know, 2,000 feet deep, and it was built by a big ice dam, and that ice dam broke in the late Pleistocene, you know, 12, 13,000 years ago, and all this water rushed through, you know, out towards the ocean and form the Columbia Gorge. That's the music. I'll tell you a little story that's kind of interesting.
Right on. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Montana, interesting story. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know, we, in keeping with your theme of the last few weeks, you know, it's like, how did it get this bad? I mean, how did these big federal programs to make everything better, how do they always end in making everything worse? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can blame, you know, like a lot of people say, well, it's the internet, fake news. I mean, this is all coming down on us real heavy. Well, if we go back 100 years, you know, to this time when Sam Hill, you know, was making a fortune, you know, first representing various railroad companies that were trying to figure out how to build a railroad. I mean, at one time, Astoria, Oregon, was in competition with San Francisco as being the big city on the West Coast, And so Sam Hill and other people, you know, back in the 1840s, 1850s, 60s, they were trying to get this railroad built, you know, from Chicago to Oregon so that they could have a port onto the ocean for foreign trade. And so Sam Hill made quite a bit of money because he was kind of one of the first people who got into cement and Portland cement, you know, and he was trying to advocate for good roads, and he was trying to get Washington State to build a road from, you know, what is now called I-5, or, you know, the Portland-Seattle highway back then. And he was trying to get the state of Washington to build a big highway out to the gorge, out through the gorge to the part of on the other side of this of the Cascades where the sun shines a lot. You know, over in Portland area on the west side of Cascades, there's a lot of rain. But on the east side, there was a lot of sunshine. And Sam Hill, after he made his money in working for railroads and also building highways, he said, you know, I'm going to buy up a whole big swath of land on the east side of the Cascades because there's the sun shines all the time, and all the snow melt from the Cascades runs down. So we have water, and we have sunshine. And on the west side of the Cascades, we have water and no sunshine. And so he thought that this would be a great place to create this his empire. The only problem, he didn't have anybody to live there because mm-hmm. it was very back then. It was basically a high desert, and nobody lived there. So he concocted some type of Quaker association, and he made presentations to Quakers saying, come on out here, I'll give you all this land, and we'll build this paradise on the east side. He was a little bit, you know, some people thought he was a little bit off the deep end. But what's interesting is that we think, oh, the Internet, fake news, all this stuff is new and it's causing terrible things. Well, back then, there were these type of fake news. I mean, when these rich people controlled, you know, what was happening and controlled the newspapers. I mean, many newspapers were very wrote a lot of gratuitous stories about him and how he's helping, you know, build highways and stuff like that. But, you know, what's interesting is when we were talking about wind turbines, I lived in Portland for 30-some years before moving to Montana, and I watched this very beautiful place fought over. And, you know, when we started talking about wind turbines, if you know about how these things got started and why they ended up in the gorge, it really is sort of a microcosm of how things fail. You know, the idea is, oh, you know, this is alternative energy, you know, renewable energy. It's free. You know, the wind blows in the gorge quite a lot, and so you just get free electricity. And so, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Well, when you look into it, you see everything went wrong because many of these public utilities, these co-ops out in the gorge, were forced, you know, by state regulations in Washington State and Oregon to participate in this alternative power. And so these wind turbines were going to create free, you know, sort of relatively free after you pay this enormous price to yeah. set up all of these wind turbines. But how do you get the electricity from out there to Portland right. and to Seattle? And so when you look into this, you'll see many of the things that we think are new, many of these dysfunctional aspects that we think is something new, actually has a very powerful historical precedence. Yeah. And it's very informative when you know more about how that failed.
Well, I want to... There's more to that story. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's broadcast, this Friday, May 17th, 2019. Speaking of the historical precedent for fake news, particularly in the post-Gutenberg era, one of my favorite installments is Jefferson to John Norville. They're corresponding, and back in... this was on June 11, 1807. This is one of my favorite installments. I'm going to read an extended excerpt because I think it's just brilliantly articulate on how pervasive the issue was in 1807. Jefferson writes to Norvell, "To your request of my opinion of the manner in which a newspaper should be conducted so as to be most useful, I should answer, quote, by restraining it to true facts and sound principles only," end quote. "Yet I fear such a paper would find few subscribers. It is a melancholy truth that a suppression of the press could not more completely deprive the nation of its benefits than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehood. And this, I think, sort of gives us insight as to why the First Amendment was the First Amendment. Anyway, continuing, nothing can now be believed which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle. The real extent of this state of misinformation is known only to those who are in situations to confront facts within their knowledge with the lies of the day. I really look with commiseration over the great body of my fellow citizens who, reading newspapers, live and die in the belief that they have known something of what has been passing in the world in their time, whereas the accounts they have read in newspapers are just as true a history of any other period of the world as of the present, except that the real names of the day are affixed to their fables. General facts may indeed be collected from them, such as that Europe is now at war, that Bonaparte has been a successful warrior, that he has subjected a great portion of Europe to his will, etc., etc. But no details can be relied on. I will add that the man who never looks into a newspaper is better informed than he who reads them, inasmuch as he who knows nothing is nearer to truth than he whose mind is filled with falsehoods and errors. He who reads nothing will still learn the great facts, and the details are all false. Perhaps an editor might begin a reformation in some such way as this. Divide his paper into four chapters. Heading the first, truths. Second, probabilities. Third, possibilities. Fourth, lies. First chapter would be very short, as it would contain little more than authentic papers and information from such sources as the editor would be willing to risk his own reputation for their truth. The second would contain what, from a mature consideration of all circumstances, his judgment should conclude to be probably true. This, however, should rather contain too little than too much. The third and fourth should be professedly for those readers who would rather have lies for their money than the blank paper they would occupy. So, I think that's about as eloquently as you can put it. What do you think, William?
Well, the history of fake news, and like I say, you know, when anyone, you know, if you're in a local area and you dig into the whole hoax and fake news that surrounded, you know, wind turbines in the gorge and how they never made any money and how now the local, you know, co-op, you know, utilities have to pay for the fact that the wind turbines are not making enough money, and they have to pay fines because they have more than 25,000 users. And they were sort of hook-winked into this by fake news saying, boy, this thing is going to bring so many jobs to you, and you're going to be able to sell and become rich selling this to California. Well, if you go back and you start saying, you know, like, when did this whole fake news really get going? I mean, I don't want to disparage the reputation of Benjamin Franklin, but in the spring of 1782, you know, he was in Paris, and he was, you know, working on some very complex diplomatic problems, and he was trying to win support among the English populace, and he was saying that, you know, the Brit, or in France, he was trying to also get support from France for the American Revolution, and one of the things that he did is he published a fake article about an atrocity perpetrated in the United States by Indians that were, you know, under the support and encouragement of the Britain. And he published this article, and it was about, you know, scalps and little scalps and scalps of blonde women. And this was completely fake. He had this printed up, and he gave it out to British London newspapers saying this is what's happening. You may think that, you know, the British soldiers and troops are there to maintain order, but they're also encouraging these savages to perpetrate these atrocities on people. Now, he didn't feel that that was going over the line. He felt that, you know, this Indian atrocity article was legitimate as a member, as a means of pointing out, you know, the brutality and the illegal actions against the colonists. And this was sort of like it was balancing the truth table. You know, yes, the British, you know, soldiers were lying, and the British governors in America were lying. So a little bit of lie on the other side is not actually lying. It's just basically propaganda, and it's propaganda with a purpose. And so, you know, if the end justifies the means, you know, this isn't really a big problem. And, you know, he was very, very important in the beginning in, you know, Boston and in and around there with newspapers. And he felt that this was a very powerful tool. And when push comes to shove, why not? Just tell a little white lie. Because in a sense, it is pointing to something that is true. So it's not really a lie. And so, you know, when we think that, you know, we are the only this fake news that is really, you know, destroying our democracy, whoever controls the news controls the ideas that are perpetrated, you know, the ideas that are fostered and used to make decisions. And so people, you know, I'm sure that there are many people that are involved in fake news today that believe sort of similarly, that, you know, yeah, it's kind of false, but it really is, you know, striking, you know, a balance for good. And therefore, you know, what's the problem? Well, of course, you and I and many people listening know that this one lie leads to another lie. And so whether you're talking about wind farms in the gorge, or whether you're talking about war with Iran, or whether you're talking about, you know, all of the things that were brought against Russia that turned out to be not totally true, it was like, well, yes, the Russians didn't really try to, you know, throw the election to Trump, but, you know, we know they're up to no good. Well, where is the evidence of that? And so once you launch out into this fake news, you lose all balance. You lose all moral, you know, authority, because where do you stop and how do you right. adjudicate this? And so, you know, wherever you tie in to anything, I mean, if you start going into, you know, the use of gypsophate, if you start going into electromagnetic, you know, pollution and how it's hurting our children in schools. You know, any time that you go in deep any place, you're going to find these similar modalities and these similar techniques for basically creating a fake illusion of something. And what happens then? You know, kind of all hell breaks loose. And that's what this program and many programs that are trying to emulate it are trying to do. They're trying to say there needs to be something. We don't need to learn these things every week. You know, there's some right. things we should have in our basket, you know.
Absolutely.
And we shouldn't have to say, why are they rattling the sabers against Iran? You know, like, why? Duh.
Yeah.
You know, all we have to do is go back to our recent, you know, histories to see what are the forces behind this. I mean, the fracking oil industry in this country can't make money until they can get the barrel of oil up to $100 a barrel. At 70, they can't even pay for their debt service. And so you think there may be a connection between yeah. trying to create a war in with Iran and trying to save the fracking industry, No, they wouldn't stoop that low, would they?
Of course not. Yeah, there. I mean, there are so many parallel discussions. Just, you know, everything you say just seems to bring up this confluence of subject matter. I mentioned the article earlier, whose side is the CIA on in that excerpt. Nowadays, the only way you can discern what's going on is by studying and understanding the historical arc of these bureaucracies. And like you said, you know, who was behind the forming of them. So Doug Valentine said, where did the CIA come from? Where is it going? If you look at it historically, you can see beyond the spin and it becomes demystified. And that's not a happy story. As power gets more concentrated in the security services, the media is no longer simply compliant. It functions as their public relations arm, simply ignores anything that contradicts the official line. And I think back to what's his name? Hugh Wilford's book, The Mighty Wurlitzer, How the CIA Played America, The Mockingbird Press, essentially, and how we've heard this reverberant theme for the last 50 years or so. And there's also an interesting correlation, and I wanted to talk to you, maybe we can come back to this because we're running out of time today, but in William Engdahl's latest email, there's an interesting sort of confluence of subject matter that he mentioned some things that remind me of what Fred has talked about as well, but he refers back to an article he wrote back in 2015 titled NATO Atlantic Bridge is Falling Down. And that's interesting. I think it would be interesting to discuss that subject matter based on, you know, some of the things that you've brought up. But, you know, getting back to the other things that you said too, again, this confluence, you know, in the way that the, you know, history sort of repeats itself, even though we are encouraged these days, particularly in America, having a, you know, 10 to 20 second attention span, to think that it's Clark's third law. We're just constantly mystified and amazed and awestruck by the latest, you know, what amounts to the installation of the latest installation of history repeating itself. So I think of, I want to get back to the Safari Club, you know, Dulles, the CIA, and that whole discussion. Halford Mackinder obviously comes to mind, and the
very much
coefficients,
so.
Coefficients Dining Club, you know, obviously the, you know, Heartland Theory, geopolitics, all of that. When you were talking about Sam Hill, I was thinking about that, and the, you know, him being part of that sort of insider's old boy network too.
The one thing about Sam Hill that's interesting is that he did travel a lot, and he went to Europe many, many times.
Yeah.
And so many of these big, you know, financial and, railroad, you know, billionaires, or, you know, what would have been billionaires back then, many of these people were very much in the United States and didn't have any real world experience. Sam Hill actually traveled a lot, and he came back, and, you know, he was well-meaning in many ways. I mean, he was, you know, saying we need to have better roads, you know, because that's how you increase commerce, and the roads should not have turnpike fees. I mean, this, you know, you can't take farmers and make them have to pay for transporting their goods to market, because that benefits all of us. So there were some very many, many amazing things that he was doing that actually had a public good. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened was that because of the money that he was making, he also started saying, I need to be in control of these new empire. I mean, he actually envisioned a new empire on the eastern side of the Cascades. All he needed was minions. He needed people. And that's where the deception started coming in, where he started you know, trying to use any method possible to induce people to move to this area so that this great vision that he had would come about. That's where the Stonehenge memorial was actually for, I believe, World War One, deaths, a memorial to soldiers who died in World War One. But it's interesting that when you look into this thing, the one thing that I see that is needed, and this is a question I ask to you and others, you know, how do we come to have real beliefs and can articulate these forcefully? Like one of the things that's happening with fake news and this whole silencing of unwanted and illegal opinion is that there's no way to say something forcefully because you're right. going to offend some people of color, or you're going to, if you say Jefferson said, it's like, Jefferson? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you can't quote Jefferson at the University of Virginia anymore, so, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, we need to find a way to say, excuse me, pardon me, I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but I have read the histories. Mm-hmm. And you might say, well, you can't read the histories and make your own opinion. You can't voice what you think you've learned from history.
Yeah, that's not
officially. Well, have you studied the history? No, yeah. History is bad.
Yeah.
So we have to find some way to be forceful in our articulated opinion once we've done our homework, and we can say we have done our homework and know when you say, well, how can you say that this is fake news? Well, I can. In certain areas where I've put in a lot of homework, I can say that this is fake news, and
yeah.
I should be able to express that opinion.
And one of the things that I try to do in that regard is, when I talk about the stories, I try to shine a bright light on what seems to be the effort to influence and persuade in those stories. But, you know, there is the, you know, the politically correct, the PC aspect of the propaganda, but there's also, speaking of the unstable footing, there's also the, you know, Vladislav Surkov element where you get contradictory stories, and that piece that Adam Curtis did back in 2014 where he talked about that, and he said, you know, so much of the news seems contradictory these days.
By intention.
Confusing, and he closes by saying it means that we as individuals become even more powerless, unable to challenge anything based on this this barrage of contradictory information. And we've all seen it where you have, depending on if you're looking at Fox News, Washington Post, CNN, or whatever, same story, contradictory headline, contradictory narrative. And he says, you know, the way Adam Curtis put it, unable to challenge anything because we live in a state of confusion and uncertainty, to which the response is, oh dear, but that's what they want you to say, is how he concluded.
And that's the purpose of, you know, having a forum where people can come together and have a, you know, a public discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we do have rights to actually form an opinion. We shouldn't be scared, or like, you know, I see sources like Wikipedia, where it's interesting that you'll be reading these things over a period of a decade now. And whenever they want, you know, whenever they present something now, they always say, but there are conflicting. Well, of course there are conflicting, because people have different opinions and they also have different motivations. You know, the ambitious, you know, the ambitious people that want to take more than their share of the pie, I mean, they need to be called out. And they need to be called out once and for all. And, you know, if you know history and if you know the basis for many of these statements, these conflicting statements, you can be quick to put these people in their place, you know, to see their ambition and their ambition against the public good. And you actually need to be prompt in putting these things down. And that sometimes requires forceful speech.
Yep.
And, you know, that's one of the big problems we're facing, is that forceful speech, you know, can be censored because, you know, it may cause people trauma, you know, when they're when historical facts are brought. And it's like, yes, but history, you can't quote history because that offends me. It makes me, unhappy, and you need to warn me before you bring up historical facts. I mean...
Yeah, and you were mean when you said it, too. You were just, anyway. You know, like when you quote Proverbs 12:1, he who hates reproof is stupid. Oh, that's mean. You can't talk like that.
Right. Well, anyway, we could say so much more about so many things, but it's important to just hold our own, I think.
And, absolutely.
And basically say, I know what I know. Now, if someone wants to correct me, I'm all ears. You know, I'm not going to give up easily because I have formed these opinions based upon a lot of hard work.
Right.
But if you do correct me, you know, I have on occasions apologized and said, I did not get that. Mm-hmm. I did not see that. But now that you've presented the facts to me, I mean, I don't like doing it, but I will admit that I am wrong when the preponderance of the facts, you know, flies in my face.
Yeah.
And that's what the public discussion is supposed to do. It's supposed to be dynamic in that way. Everybody forcefully comes through, makes their statements, and then that there is some adjudication that happens in the process of dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I while you're saying what you're saying, you know, the to go back a little bit, the forcefulness. I mean, for folks who, I mean, the book of Proverbs talks about, you know, how the wise receive correction and fools do not, and how futile it is to argue with a fool. Proverbs 26:4 and 5 in particular, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, then he will not be wise in his own eyes. And that sounds, you know, that to me connotes a certain forcefulness. Maybe not. In my mind, it does. But it seems like there's definitely an application for that kind of stuff in today's society. But I appreciate what we are able to do here. I, you know, are we going to mention that Wikipedia says that Sam Hill is best remembered for building the Stonehenge replica? I thought you were going to get back around to that. I thought that's where you were going.
I will get around to that at some future time. No, he wasn't. That isn't what he's known for.
Yeah.
And that's another demeaning comment to say, don't look here, there's nothing to see.
Right. Yeah, it's a caricaturization or a marginalizing of the broader historical background, I would say. But that is... that is an interesting fun fact to sort of tie things together and close out the Friday broadcast.
I've been there. Someday I'll call back in and we'll talk about it. It's a very interesting phenomenon. Thank you.
Thanks, William. Thanks, everyone. I hope it was informative. I hope you have a great weekend. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is